Welcome to Black People Love Paramore, a podcast to try to help Black people feel seen. Please feel free to donate to the show at the link in the show notes. And please rate us or write us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. 5 stars only because we are 5-star bitches worth of your gotti. If you are watching on YouTube, please like, comment, subscribe, and all of those things. Additionally, I have a new podcast called Glass House by Sequoia Holmes, and you can find that anywhere you listen to podcasts. I'm your host, Sequoia, and today, joining me to talk about rom-coms, we have producer and co-host of the music podcast Broken Record and new podcast, Started From the Bottom, Justin Richmond. Justin, thank you so much for joining. Tell the folks a little bit about yourself.
Man, well, look, I feel a little bit like a fraud being here because I got to be real. I don't like Paramore, which is like makes feel like we're getting off on the wrong foot.
No, but no, not off on the wrong foot at all.
I don't know. I think I respect your taste. I respect what you're doing, though, so most of it. So
I think I respect your taste. Unclear. We'll get to that. Yeah, yeah. To be fair, I have said repeatedly on this podcast, I am not Paramore's number one fan by any means.
Okay.
I like very specific Paramore.
Okay. Gotcha.
And they know that. So they know. Right. This is just the beck and call for everybody.
Understood. Well, I'm happy to be here. I like Black People Love Paramore way more than I like Paramore. So
there we go. Look at that. Yeah. I love that for myself. Thank you. Okay. Do you have anything you want to tell the folks before we jump into...
Yeah, my new podcast, Started From the Bottom, comes out March 14. We're dropping with 2 episodes. It'll be me in conversation with Malcolm Gladwell that we taped live in Brooklyn a couple weeks ago. And then the other episode coming out that same day is with Charlamagne Tha God. And we got everyone from Charlamagne to Susie Orman, Black Thought. It's pretty crazy. So it's going to be a good show. And yeah, I'm excited to share it with the world.
Justin out here with the big names, y'all.
Hey,
that's heavy hitters.
I don't
play. That's nothing like... Hey, right. No
play.
Little shit around here. Call, big shit only, okay?
Don't come to play. That's it.
Don't come to play at all. Respect. I respect that. Mm-hmm. Before we get into talking about rom-coms, we have In My Defense. In My Defense is our segment where we bring one of our unpopular opinions and defend it for you all. So this week, I really wrecked my brain. I think I've bled it dry for y'all. I've told y'all every unpopular opinion that I'm willing to say publicly.
I want the ones that aren't public.
I want the ones. I will likely start a Patreon, and you can find the ones that are not public behind the paywall.
Oh,
but
I thought we might get one today. Oh.
Nope, not getting one. Not getting one. I'm too scared of the internet. Okay.
Yeah,
but Justin, do you have an In My Defense this week that you would like to share?
Man,
it could be something that, you know, you don't want to share publicly that we'll take anyway.
I was going to go real controversial with something that I also didn't feel comfortable sharing publicly because I'm also scared of the internet and particularly this person's fans. But I decided to switch it up, and I decided because we're taping this a couple of days after Chris Rock's Netflix episode, I gotta say from day one, I'm Team Will, man. I'm not saying he was right, but I definitely don't think he was wrong.
I don't think he was wrong. 100% That's the whole thing.
Don't think Will was wrong.
I agree with you.
And I think Chris was all wrong. So. I don't know. I don't know.
I feel you. Yeah. My whole thing is like when you open your mouth to speak about somebody else, you leave it up to them to react however it is that they want to react, you know? So what Will wanted you to do?
You never know how any, you would never walk up to someone and just say something wild about their partner because you know that that could end poorly. But just because you're on stage at the Oscars and you know this man 30 years and you know his reputation, you think you can say something. And
sometimes we learn the hard way.
You calculated wrong. You miscalculated.
Right. Miscalculations. Right?
So, you know, and then it was like the whole time people were like, you know, oh, he only did it because it's Chris Rock. Like, he only did because it's Chris Rock. Like, and look at Will versus Chris Rock. They're making it as if Will Smith's like Mike Tyson. I'm like, let's think about it the other way. Would Chris Rock have said that about Puffy's partner? Like, if Puff was in the audience. Would he have said that about Puff? Would he have said that about Mike Tyson's wife when she was in there?
Wow.
No, because Will has a reputation. We all know Will's cool. We all know Will ain't going to do nothing. So he thought in his mind, I'm safe. I'm going to. And sometimes you get tired. Will Smith's been keeping it together a lot of years.
Yeah.
He got tired, man. You know?
He thought shit was sweet. And he found out the hard way.
You
wasn't going to say it to Puffy. Yep. You found out from a nigga from Philly now.
You
there
forgot
it is,
where he was from.
You forgot. So
you forgot where he
didn't
was from.
Clearly,
no. It came out. So that's my, I don't know. I guess that's my, it doesn't feel controversial no more because you really agreed. So, okay. Cool.
I really agree. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It made sense to me.
If I was Chris Rock, I would have apologized. Like, I got to be honest. Like, if I was at a birthday party for a friend and someone I've known for 20 years was there, and then toasting our mutual friend, I said something crass about his partner, his wife, and he slapped me, I'll be mad for a hot second. And then, you know what?
Right.
I'd be like, you know what? Hey, I probably shouldn't have said that. Nah, I'm sorry, dog.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we would have,
right,
and whatever. But I would not have double, triple down. Spent a whole year talking more shit. So.
No. Right. Maybe you should have just kept the wife's name out the mouth. That is really that simple.
Man.
Once the embarrassment passes, you kind of get that, that realization. Like, damn, I was talking about. I guess Chris didn't get that.
So, there we go. That's how I feel. That's how I feel about it.
That's a good one. That was a good one. I appreciate the actual controversy. That's good. It's been a minute since I actually said something controversial on here.
All right.
So I
could give my other one too. I guess that I was going to give. Should I give my other?
Oh, you're going to give a heavier one?
Hold on. Yeah, because I don't have one. It's not heavier.
Oh, okay. 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 I don't know if you want to share it. I don't have one this week because I'm bled dry. I've told y'all everything.
I really hesitate to say this, but just like I said, Will wasn't right, but I don't think it was wrong. Like, I don't think she's a bad singer. But I don't necessarily think Beyonce is a great singer.
Really?
Nah.
Not a great singer?
I don't think she's a bad singer.
I don't know.
But I don't know if she's a good singer. Like, sometimes when I first hear, sometimes when Beyonce first came, I was like, oh, shit. Like, okay, I guess she's in tune. All right, I'm with it. But
I guess she's in tune.
Like, it takes me like a hot second to like adjust to whatever's going on the track.
Wow. Yeah. You're not the first person I've heard say this, but every time I'm like, I don't know what y'all talking about. I really don't know what y'all talking about.
Man.
But I've heard other people say it too. So maybe there's something going on in y'all's ears that has a little bit more inclination than mine have. Because when I be listening to it, I be like, wow, this is the best thing. I'm ascending. Like, I'm elevated off the ground.
Okay. Look,
y'all go watch this on YouTube because Justin's face right now is taking me out.
I haven't lost any friends saying this, but I've had a few really be real upset with me. I've had a few.
It's been a couple questions.
Yeah, I don't know if we're as close anymore or before I came out with this thought. So
right,
hopefully people don't jump on me. I think she's beautiful. It means a lot to the culture and. Is a wonderful human being as far as her image and persona and what she does and what she means for everyone. But yeah, that's how I feel about the singing. And is that down to personal preference? That's it. That's it.
It must be down to personal preference because I don't know what you're talking about.
That's all
I'm saying. We're going to take it and leave it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. Song of the week this week. I did bring a song, just a song that hit me in a grocery store. And I was like, wow. This one absolutely slaps. I forgot about this song. And it is Jimmy Eat World, The Middle.
Oh.
Do you know that song?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked
that. That was like a good one. I forgot.
Yeah, yeah. I saw them when the song came out.
Oh, you did?
I saw them. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like a lot of people saw Jimmy Eat World. Like, there's been a lot of people that are like, that's my first concert. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, that was one
that
of my
many
first
people
big
had
ones.
Real feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Where'd you hear it?
I heard it at Whole Foods. I was in Whole Foods.
Man, when you hear, I tell you, I'm getting old enough now because like I hear songs in the grocery store. I might as well be at the club, man. I'm wilding now.
Right?
When I hear a good song in the grocery store these days,
the exact
it's
same
crazy.
Way.
It's the best feeling 100%. I get all week when I hear. I'm like, oh,
100%.
You know, yeah.
No, literally, yeah. I'm in the grocery store like singing it out loud.
And asking other people,
somebody behind me
that?
Started singing
you
with
hear
me.
That? Yes, other people. Yes. I'm talking to other people. Yo, y'all, like, motherfucker, I'm just trying to get my peaches and shit. Nah, you hear that shit?
Nah,
when's the last time you heard this? Listen.
When's the last time you heard Jimmy?
Oh,
okay,
my
please.
God. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I feel that. Okay. Somebody started singing with me and I was really excited about it. They were behind me and I was like, wow. Like, you get me.
It was so funny.
It was a good time.
So funny.
A good time. What song you got, Justin? What you bring for us?
Well, I've been hearing the song for years, but I guess I just hadn't heard it recently. Deborah Cox, Nobody's Supposed to Be Here. That came on the radio the other day. And
wow.
I was like, it was like rediscovering a part of myself. I was like, yo, I don't think I've heard it in 10 years, more, 12 years.
That one will do it.
That one
is a certified banger for sure.
Yo, it killed me. Yeah. It killed me.
It has a little bit of churchiness to it that just like, you know what I mean?
Absolutely it does. Absolutely.
It's so good.
Really beautiful. I did a Babyface interview recently for Broken Record and an Usher one. So I've really been in this R&B, my R&B bag. And then that song came on and I was like, it just was like,
That's a fantastic one. Literally, this weekend, me and my boyfriend did not leave the apartment. We sat and watched Usher music videos. Just like from pretty much his entire timeline of being famous. We're like, this dude. It feels weird to say Usher is underrated, but I honestly do feel that he's underrated.
He is.
You know?
I don't know what it is. I don't know why or how that happened. And I don't know if his Vegas residency will correct that. I'm starting to feel like maybe it is and it will. I don't know if it's just that he's just so consistently good that we just take it for granted. It's like, yo,
and he like doesn't make a spectacle of himself in an embarrassing way that like a lot of folks tend to do in order to get the recognition that they think they deserve.
Yeah.
And Usher doesn't have to. He leans on pure talent.
Yeah.
And y'all are not putting enough respect on his name for my personal taste.
Look, when you go back and you listen, I was actually telling my wife this, maybe it was this weekend, the other weekend, we were listening to Confessions. And I was like, you know, this man really said on a pop song, how I ain't ready for no kid and bye bye to our relationship. Like, to be that adult on a pop song.
Yeah.
When has that ever happened? Yeah. When that open and vulnerable and that real on an adult level.
Like, Confessions was absolutely insane. Like, front to back. And then you have little nuggets like that. I ain't ready for no kid and five out of my like.
Whoa, you're like, yo, that's like the realest thing I've ever heard. Like, no one says that out loud. Like, by the way, many people who are about to have kids say that. And they say to their best friend. And Usher said it to the whole world. And like a number one hit. Like, it really is mind blowing. And he's a child prodigy. I hope his new music's banging because he deserves a real renaissance, you know?
Truly. Did you watch his Tiny Desk?
I did. It was incredible. That was appointment viewing for us.
It was appointment viewing.
That was appointment viewing.
It was literally appointment
viewing. We threw it on that night when it came out. We sat in bed and we put that on. Jam. It was like
I ran that shit back way too many times. It was actually kind of embarrassing. Like, I had it on a loop for a while.
How could you not? It's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Killed it.
Okay.
Killed it. He had the collar on like a little freak too.
Wow.
like the OG sex addict he is.
Because
you know he was the first cat come out say he was a sex addict. No one even believed
he sure
it.
Did.
He was an OG. No one remembers
that. What are you
talking about? He was OG like 03, 04. Like, oh, I'm a sex addict.
Yeah.
No one's like, what? Like no one heard of it. Now everyone when they get caught up, that's the excuse. I really believe him. He might be.
He might be. He really might be. He did have on that collar. I forgot about that. I also noticed, y'all, I promise, we're going to talk about rom-coms. I'm so sorry. I'm getting a little sidetracked. He also noticed in the Tiny Desk, he had, like, ear piercings in a spot that was not normal to have an ear piercing.
Oh, I caught that. Yeah, he's a freak.
Yeah,
he's a freak.
Like,
he's a freak.
What is this? Yeah. Like, I'm confused.
He's a freak in the best way. Way possible, Usher. Okay?
Yeah, so. That definitely reignited my crush on Usher, my little childhood crush on Usher. It definitely reignited from that Tiny Desk. I said, oh.
Your boyfriend going to be having some piercings soon.
Right. I said, we're going to get you some piercings, babe. We're going to see about it. I don't know. And a collar.
Yeah. Anyway. You about to turn them out.
Oh, God. Right. Very much that. Okay. Rom-coms. What we're all here for, a little rom-com. Before we get into actually talking about what rom-coms we like and all that, let me define rom-com because this confused me a little bit. According to trusty old Wikipedia, I'm just going to read it directly. Romantic comedies, also known as rom-com, is a subgenre of comedy and a slice of life fiction focused on lighthearted, humorous plot lines centered on romantic ideas, such as how true love is able to surmount most obstacles. In typical romantic comedy, the two lovers tend to be young, likable, and seemingly meant for each other, yet they are kept apart by complicating circumstances like class differences, parental interferences, previous boyfriends, girlfriends, until surmounting all obstacles, they are finally united. A fairy tale style happy ending is a typical feature. Hmm. Romantic comedy films are a certain genre of comedy films, as well as romantic films, may also have elements of screwball comedies. However, a romantic comedy is classified as a film with two genres, not a single new genre. So that is the portion that kind of threw me off a little bit.
Okay.
It being a film with two genres and not just one new genre, I was like, I don't like that definition.
You think it was a whole new genre? Like
That's how I feel about it. Even still, even watching this definition, I'm like, I don't take this. I don't agree. Obviously, that is the truth. I just don't agree. But
well, because I guess
it's like a subgenre.
Because I feel like we think in culture at large, I feel like we think about the rom com as sort of like coming out of the 80s and sort of coming of age in the 90s and sort of tailing off throughout the 2000s. You get kind of your late entries to the genre. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I do think that if you look at that, like that is, I think that did establish a new genre. But I do think what it is right about is you can go back. There was kind of this kind of stuff like in the day, like Roman Holiday or like Audrey Hepburn or whatever. Aubrey Graham. Aubrey Hepburn.
Right, you know Aubrey Graham, right.
And it was Cary Grant and stuff. So it's like, I think there were like those like kind of romantic kind of things. Maybe even like a Singing in the Rain or I don't know, that kind of stuff. I guess. Even like, and that's a musical too. But yeah, I do think the rom-com specifically, that is a genre. I would never call Singing in the Rain or Roma Holiday or Some Like It Hot, these old school classic films. I would never call those rom-coms.
Exactly. Know? So you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, so yeah, you totally I understand. Do. We're on I the do. Same page. Because while, you know, those movies have elements of both, yeah, romance and comedies, I would never call lots of films rom-coms.
Yeah.
And, okay, I pulled my Instagram as well as the show's Instagram, Black People Love Paramore's cool. Instagram, and I asked folks, what are your favorite rom-coms in preparation for this episode? I was going to come on here and drag y'all fans because the answers were wild to me. Like, y'all, people said Bridesmaids. To me, that is not a rom-com.
I don't either.
Bring It On, not a rom-com. Clueless, not a rom-com, in my opinion. But given the definition I just read, they are. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the problem. But I'm like, those are not rom-coms. Those are comedies with an angle that has a romance somewhere sprinkled in.
Yeah. I think there's a thing, Clueless, maybe more like coming of age is more coming.
Yes,
coming of
definitely
age.
Definitely coming of
like
age.
You know, I was thinking about this too. I was thinking about like, because I was telling someone I was coming on here to talk about it. They're like, man, like rom-coms, like what? Black people don't love rom-coms? I was like, yeah, I guess. And they're like, what about like The Wood or like this one or that one? I go, I love The Wood.
That's coming of age.
Think about it. That's more coming of age. That's more.
The Wood is coming of age.
Closer to Clueless than it is like, you know, it's not a rom-com.
Certainly.
But it gives you the same feeling.
They definitely.
Give you, those coming of age comedies give you the same feeling as a rom-com. Going back to, what's it called? To Fast Times at Ridgemont High, to The Wood, to like Superbad, you know, or whatever. Like,
I was going to bring up Superbad. So also in preparation for this podcast, I asked my boyfriend just his favorite rom-coms and he mentioned Superbad and he was like, most people would not put that in the rom-com genre. For reference, my boyfriend is a TV writer, so screenwriting is like his thing. He's like, most people won't put this in the rom-com genre, but it absolutely is a rom-com between two best friends. It's like they have a romance.
Okay.
And it is definitely like a rom-com on two best friends.
Okay. But he's overthinking it because, but then like Lethal Weapon's a rom-com between Mel Gibson and Danny Glover. Nah, man, I don't know. Cause then you could put any 48 Hours with, you know what I'm saying? With Eddie and I mean, he's right, but it has to be explicit.
I agree.
Romance, you know, and that has to be the plot point. Like Lethal Weapon, you could say Mel Gibson and Renee Russo, but again, that's kind of like a B or C line. Like it's like it's not the.
That's
not
what
the
I'm
main,
saying.
Yeah.
Y'all talking about like C line stories, like within the like. No, that's not a rom com.
No, it's got to be the primary characters.
The primary, exactly. That's exactly how I feel. And so the definition definitely broadened my horizon for rom-coms, but I still feel like we have a good grasp on what an actual rom-com is. So I'm curious, what's your favorite rom-com?
The Trinity. Of course. There's all these other answers. Like, man, come on, stop. There's three rom-coms that matter. And then there's two more that like are like, in the realm, but just not quite reaching the level. But there's three that matter. And that's When Harry Met Sally, Sleepless in Seattle, You've Got Mail. Boom.
Okay.
The Alpha and Omega. That's it. Boom. Like, that's the Holy Trinity right there.
And what are the two that don't make the cut but almost do?
We get two honorable mention entries from Julia Roberts with Pretty Woman and Notting Hill.
Are a classics rom-com type guy.
That's
the vibe.
Give me the classic. Give it to me, raw. That's it. Like Nora knew how to just like it. Just like Nora Ephron, who did the three that really matter and with Harry Met Sally, I think really kicked it off as a genre, make it a genre, make it a thing that the 90s just becomes like, you know, they're just churning out rom-coms. I think those three are just, that's that pure white, you know?
So that's fair.
Yeah.
She low-key did create the genre of rom-coms, like in the way that we think about rom-coms, it's like purely a Nora Ephron thing.
Oh yeah, she did. And it starts with When Harry Met Sally, but you could go back to Heartburn, which was a movie that she directed. I'm almost positive, I could have it wrong, or wrote. I think she directed it and wrote it. It was a novel, or it was like a book she wrote based on her marriage falling apart. And she just changed the names and all that. But it's like that, like, prototype to what the rom-com was going to be. It's the inverse of it, but yeah.
Hi, this is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class, tomorrow's exam will cover the science of perfect pitch, the history of pride flags, and speedrunning video games. Any questions? Ah, yes, you in the back.
What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else.
My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
Right. Nora Ephron seems like she was that girl. And let me tell y'all a little bit about her. Also from trusty old Wikipedia, okay?
Go.
Nora Ephron was an American journalist, writer, and filmmaker. She's best known for her romantic comedy films and was nominated 3 times for the Writers Guild of America Award and the Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay for Silkwood, When Harry Met Sally, and Sleepless in Seattle. She won the BAFTA Award for Best Original Screenplay for When Harry Met Sally, which the Writers Guild of America ranked as the 40th best screenplay of all time. Do you know how hard it is for, like, a fucking rom-com to be named one of the best screenplays of all time?
If you have, like, the 200th best screenplay of all time, like, you really, you're, like, you're incredible. Like, I mean, think about all the movies that have been written. Like, there's been amazing movies. The 40th, and I'll tell you, I read the script. There's a book that is just the script. I read that recently, and that's how deep I am on it, and it's incredible.
I see, no, you're really in here.
It's incredible. It's incredible, and you really see, like, obviously, like, there's some very charismatic people. And When Harry Met Sally, between Billy Crystal, who's really at his peak at the moment, and you got
Meg Ryan.
Thank you. I was slipping on Meg Ryan. Yes. Clearly super charismatic. She's on the come up. But it's like, so much of those movies, what I got from reading the scripts, it's Nora's words, man. The way you read those scripts, you're like, it's all there, man. It's incredible. Okay. It's incredible.
She wrote a lot of things. So, like, aside from films too, like, she was a writer overall. So her like grasp of words, I'm sure, was very, very strong. I would be interested to read the script. Honestly, I can't lie. I've never seen it.
Wow.
I've never seen When Harry Met Sally.
Wow.
So that's embarrassing on my part. But I did plan to watch it specifically for this episode. I did not get there with my whole, you know, Usher.
You gotta you played yourself. Don't worry though. When you do it, like, you should do it tonight. Like, I don't know, clear your schedule.
Because you're really
clear your schedule,
making me want
to put it on tonight.
Tell me what you like about it. Like, what is it that does it
for me?
You?
And this is generally what I think is great about the rom-com. It allows you to explore feelings in a very safe space. Because you know, at the end of the day, not much is going to go wrong, right? Like, it's going to be resolved one way or another. Even if it's resolved, even if the bad thing really occurs, there's some resolute, like, you leave feeling good. Even if they don't end up together, you leave feeling good. And so...
Yes.
It allows you, and I think the best ones, and I think there's some ones we could talk about where they don't really do this, but the best ones, what they really do is it unlike just a drama, is it allows you to explore what you do in a drama, all the fraughtness of life in this super safe space. So if you're feeling raw and vulnerable, you can throw on a rom-com and work through a lot of things, but without really like killing yourself to do it, you know?
Wait, yeah. No, like this, that was an incredible reason. I was not expecting level of reason at all. You. That was a fantastic reason. That's actually really, like, it's really good because as me personally, I also very much enjoy a resolute ending. Yeah. Bring me to a resolution, the safe space of it all. Maybe that is why I enjoy like watching stuff from like childhood, even the same reason. It's like a safe space to explore feelings because nostalgia definitely does evoke like certain feelings. Mm-hmm. And I feel like rom-coms often have that little feeling of nostalgia to them that often allows you to get into yourself a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. And it gives you like the other benefit of like, because I was born the year when Harry Met Sally came out. I was actually born the same month it came out. So maybe that was in the stars. You know what I'm saying?
Come on. But, right.
You know, and then by the time You've Got Mail came out, I remember. I did rent that at the Hollywood Video and all that. So I, you know, by that point I was able to see it, but the other first two I kind of missed in terms of like when they were brand new. But from the vantage point of being a little young for those movies when they came out, like you also get to the benefit for us is like we get to now compare our lives against kind of like this other like generation and sort of see like this is normal or this isn't normal or oh that's true.
Right.
So this is just true across no matter culture, race, creed, era. Like there's certain truths about love that you realize from watching that I have from watching. It's like, oh, that everyone goes through that. Right? This happens to everyone. And then there's other things where you're like, okay, that must be specific to that time. But that is a benefit when you look at old ones. You're like, oh, this is just what happens. Like this is it. Like you think it was just you. Be like, nah, this is like everyone's experience, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
No, these reasons are like deep. Like these are like very legitimate reasons. Like super deep, real legit reasons. Not like some, I don't know. It's just fun. Like, no.
I mean, it is that too. Yo, it is just fun too. It is just fun. You could just like any one of those movies, to be honest, you could just let like those performances wash over you, man. From Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal, Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks. You get a little Rosie O'Donnell thrown in there. By the time you get to You've Got Mail, you get some Dave Chappelle thrown in there. And it's just
what a time.
Oh, it's great.
It is like a time capsule too, with like a level of timelessness to it. Like you said, that you can compare and contrast what's going on now, what's going on then. Oh, this is a universal theme that withstands the test of time versus this is something that's kind of collected in that little time frame and it's fun to look back on it and experience it from a distance.
Exactly. Now see, there's a bad rom-coms. Now it's not a bad movie, but it's a bad rom-com. There's Something About Mary. For a couple of reasons. And that movie was huge when it came out. This Ben Stiller, Cameron Diaz. The famous scene is him having a jacklet in his hair. I feel like, what's his name from Kirk? A jacklet in his hair. And she thinks it's hair cream. And she puts it in her hair and she got like that like coiffed like thing going on. And it's like, it's real nasty. So I feel like that movie, one, it airs too far on the side of comedy. Like it's not really, I don't really think you get... You're not really exploring real themes of love and romance in a real way that you would in a drama. So there's too much towards comedy. In the writing, when you watch it, it's very dated.
From the same era.
In the case of when Harry Met Sally and Sleepless in Seattle, those are actually even older. But you watch that and it's very dated. Yeah, like rom-coms, the good ones, they're gonna be a perfect balance of the two. Little more romance than comedy, but there'll be some lightheartedness thrown in. And the writing is going to be timeless and classic.
100%. I fully agree. And here's like some other rom-coms that folks said over on Instagram. I only chose the ones that were repeated.
Yeah,
like,
I'm curious what
times.
People, yeah, let's see.
Right. They said Crazy Stupid Love. They said 13 Going on 30. Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Good.
Y'all have to watch this on YouTube. Forgetting Sarah Marshall is good for you.
Good, but not a rom-com. Okay. Per se.
It's too comedy, right? Like it's like too heavy on the comedy side, right?
And it's good. Okay. But it's comedy. To me, I would just say that's a comedy.
Right. Bridget Jones' Diary, 40-Year-Old Virgin, and The Proposal. Those are like the top ones that people kept repeating.
Wow, man. People really need the Trinity, man. Allow me to put some gospel in your life right now.
Right.
Come on, man. Allow me to. People about to have their minds blown. Because you guys are doing 13 going on 30.
13 going on 30. Yeah, that was a very common
movie. That's a trash movie. That's a trash movie. You know what I would say? I don't think I heard this on there. You know what is actually a good one? I ain't seen it in a minute, but I bet it still holds up. I promise it still holds up. That's it. That's my guarantee. It still holds up.
I'm so excited.
51st Dates with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore.
Oh, that one was something I that somebody that said too. Up.
Did they?
Okay. It wasn't one of the top most repeated, but a couple people said that too.
That's a good one. And my memory of it is it's a good balance between the two. Comedy and also has rewatchability. You could watch that over and over and over. That's the other element of it. You have to be able to rewatch it. You have to be able to rewatch it like comfort food.
Yes.
And so that a good one. You could. Along Came Polly. That's a good one.
Another one people said a little bit. People. That was like a couple. I find like now because like we've mostly talked about ones that came out longer than a decade ago, and I find that now when folks are trying to make rom coms. They're almost following the formula in a cheap way, like of a rom-com, in a way that feels devoid of good writing entirely. Like it's entirely leaning on the, well, this is how a rom-com goes. So like, you know, like it's not, it's giving nothing. Like it's giving nothing.
It's a vehicle for jokes now. Like in bad jokes, jokes that we've done over and over and over
100%.
And over and over. Yeah, it's like, okay, I've
seen. It's no longer human connection. It's just a vehicle for jokes.
It's a vehicle for jokes. Like, well, let me get this off. You know, boom, boom, boom. Yeah. And it's like, you know, and they're like, mid. Maybe there's a good, maybe there's like a one really big laugh, like on a, like, you know, some like physical something or other happens. But man.
Physical comedy moment. Yeah.
One that borders on that, but I do think redeems itself is Hitch. Which again, it's more than a decade old, but Hitch would do it. Bridesmaid would be the last big one. What's the last big rom-com? I feel like people really love.
Bridesmaids definitely makes. I think that would be the last one that people would consider rom-com. Again, I don't, but the one that people.
I didn't see it, but people say The Big Sick. People say the Big Sick. I didn't see it, but people say that's
the
a
Big
rom-com.
Okay. I can't even really get into The Big Sick because I know that there's a lot of thoughts about The Big Sick that I am not equipped to speak about.
Oh, okay. We're going back to controversial opinions here. Okay.
Yeah, because it's like, I've heard a lot of things from Pakistani women or Indian women in particular that The Big Sick like does something that they don't appreciate in any capacity. Oh. So while when I first watched it, I was like, oh, this is fantastic. After hearing that feedback, I now have to like readjust how I feel about it or like watch it with different eyes. And I'm going to summarize really very lightly because I don't know the nuance well enough. But essentially they were saying that he has like an infatuation with this white woman and kind of paints Indian women or Pakistani women as inferior to some degree in the movie. And while I did not catch that while I was watching, I need to watch it again.
to see,
because I'm sure.
I've been planning on watching that recently. So I'm over now watching with that eye. But yeah, there was.
Check that out. But The Big Sick definitely seems like a more recent one.
Yeah.
Even more so than Bridesmaids, because it actually is rom-com.
But they don't do it much anymore. You know, they rom-com don't. Doesn't. It was like such a big, and again, I think coming out when Harry Met Sally, that was such a huge surprise hit. That it became like, oh, let's just do this thing. You know, like, oh, we got these funny people. And we got this attractive woman. Like, let's put them together. And like, right, you know, and it kind of maybe ran out of juice as a genre. But I wonder if it will, you know, it seems like positioned well to make a comeback, you know.
I hope so. I would like that. I need some easy watching. Everything is very intense right now.
Yeah.
And like, I would love just an easy little. Watch this little rom-com. Have a good time.
Oh my God.
That sounds fun.
I would love it, man. I mean, what's not funny about modern day dating, man? Like, there's a lot.
What's not funny about it? It's silly. It's ridiculous. It's like, I thought of another one that came out recently. The Photograph. Did you ever see that in theaters? It was with Lakeith Stanfield and Issa Rae.
Oh, I didn't see The Photograph. I really wanted to see that.
Yeah, that one's another one.
Did that come out on Netflix?
It came out in theaters, but I think it might have been one of those dual release type situations.
Got it. Got it.
Like Netflix and theaters at the same time. But I saw it in theaters in like maybe 2019 or something like that. And it was like also solid, you know, rom-com.
You know which one I did see that did come out on Netflix? It was Issa Rae. Issa Rae and Camille Nanjiani.
I never watched that one.
Lovebirds.
I intended to.
It was fun. It was fun. It wasn't great. By no stretch of imagination was it great, but it was fun.
Uh-huh.
It was real fun.
Okay.
It was real fun.
Okay, and sometimes that's all I need.
I would rewatch that again, actually.
Okay, I'll check that one out too. Yeah. Something I left out of that definition from before is that they mentioned that TV shows can also be considered rom-com. And I didn't agree with that. So the definition overall has broadened what I believe a rom-com is. I mean, I still don't agree, but, you know, sure. For that sake, do you have any TV shows that you can think of off the top of your head that you would like as a rom-com? I have a list if it helps you.
Let's hear the list. I'm curious what the list is.
They listed Bridgerton. I feel like, I never watched Bridgerton, but I didn't get that vibe from it.
See, it didn't seem comedy.
How I Met Your Mother. Right. It seemed like, I'm like, is it? Like, okay, I didn't know. How I Met Your Mother, Sex in the City, Friends, Ugly Betty, Boy Meets World.
Okay.
Those are
Never Have I Ever is a great one. Jane the Virgin is a great one. Ugly Betty's a great one. Friends. Mm-hmm. I would throw Martin in there. Wouldn't Martin be a rom-com?
See, if some of these are rom-coms, then Martin also would be, you know? Because I wouldn't categorize some of these anyways. Like Friends, I'm like, no.
This
but
is,
sure.
Right, it has the vibe.
Right.
And Martin, to me, goes back to like almost like buddy comedy, like the way your partner was talking about, your boyfriend was talking about. It's like, it really is about the love of Martin and Gina and the hijinks. Like, it's like I Love Lucy, I guess, too. But I Love Lucy might be, damn, now that I think about it, I Love Lucy might be the ultimate rom-com.
That's the one.
The ultimate rom-com. I never thought about TV as rom-com, but I Love Lucy might be the ultimate rom-com.
I Love Lucy, right? That totally makes sense. It even has a little heart in the open.
Yes.
So it has love in the name. How
going, through, going through all the complications of like in a very 1950s fashion, but all the complications of what like a marriage is, you know, like some
it was
of that,
a little different.
But some of that, look, man, I'm a cop to this because my oldest kid, she's about to be seven, but she started watching I Love Lucy like maybe a year and a half ago. And
I'm so happy that she did.
Oh, she loves it. She loves it. But I kind of didn't know how to feel about it in a way because she started telling me and my wife, she goes, oh, you remind me of Ricky and Lucy.
I'm done. Why did she do that to you?
It was especially, it was after she watched that episode where Ricky spanks her.
I'm done.
She's like, yo, this reminds me of you guys. I go, yo, don't tell anyone that.
Said, don't say that out loud in school, please. Please don't say that out loud in school.
Something wrong at home. Oh, my God.
All right.
Oh.
That's so funny.
Yeah. But it's kind of true. Look, I got a cop to it. There's a bit of that going on, man. Like, there's some of that. Like, I don't know. Like, it's something about being in a long-term partnership where you just, okay, this kind of thing's going to come up. You're going to argue about money, needing to move somewhere for work or working too long of hours or, you know, like, it's just missing a holiday or an anniversary. Yeah. Like, it's just, you live in life.
Naturally
shit
comes
happens.
Up.
Shit happens.
Yeah, it's those universal things that we're talking about. You're watching something from the 1950s and you're like, oh. Mm-hmm. This is happening to Lucy and Ricky too.
This is real. This could happen to a Cuban and a white woman in the 1955,
right?
And happen to me in 2023. Like, I don't know. This must just be how it goes, you know.
This is just it. Yeah. This just must be it. And your kid can vouch for that.
My
she
kid,
looking
oh,
at it, she's
Lord,
like, no, this is the same. She's like, yeah, no, I recognize these things.
I
this
hope
it.
She don't grow up to be a writer, man, because I'm about to get. I'm about to get aired out, man.
Y'all getting written, right? Y'all getting written up right now. She in the back. She in the back writing it down right now.
She already got like a little journal we're not supposed to read. So I would love to know what's going on in there.
I'm obsessed. Wait, I'm actually obsessed. Maybe she really will be a writer. Like,
she
maybe she'll
be.
Actually like
she might
write something for real.
She wants to be a director. But she could be, you know, writer-director. I don't know how she even arrived at that. But yeah, she's cool.
Oh.
She's cool.
Oh,
I
love that for her.
She's a little genius.
Right. We love a smart,
yeah.
smart little kid.
Yeah,
it's my
she's
fave.
A little genius.
I feel like I would be remiss not to mention some of the best Black rom-coms ever. I would also like to preface this by saying this is not an extensive list at all, okay? This is not an extensive list at all. And I've only seen like 50% of what I'm about to name. Mm. Just Right is one that I hear about constantly. Have not seen it. But Queen Latifah, we know that she's going to give when she's in something.
Yeah. She always gives 100% and is fantastic. She's a, again, man, charismatic on another level. Sometimes she'll do things that's not supposed to be funny, and it's just funny because just the way she
she's not like,
does
right.
it.
I'm like, is this
the
on
lines,
purpose?
I mean, funny, but just what she brought to it, it's like, damn, that's funny. And then it's sincere, and it's like, she got such range. It's crazy.
She has range. That's really the big thing, for sure. She has range. And she's stunning. First of all, her hair and skin shock me every single time I see her. I'm like, what? How are you staying this tight all the time?
The person with skin maybe as good as her is Janelle Monáe, man. When she came up on that movie, what's that movie she was just in, that murder mystery?
Glass Onion.
We went to see Glass Onion in the theater. She came out, I'm like, damn, that woman's skin is like the goddamn, that's like the, it's like, It's like the fucking Milky Way. That's like, right? Damn.
Right? I said the same thing. I'm like, damn, she looks good.
Perfect.
Love and Basketball is another one. That's one I have seen.
Great.
Also a good one. That's been coming under fire a lot recently. People are like, Love and Basketball is an objectively bad film.
Who's been saying that?
It's been on Twitter. Oh, it's been on Twitter.
Man, that's a real... Talk about...
Yeah. They're saying it's bad. They're saying that him making her choose between him and her career and like that being a legitimate plot point and then her begging him for his heart back following that was like an issue for folks. I'm like, y'all, it's a movie, please.
Man, y'all gotta go live life, please.
It's
go
a movie. Life. Like,
also, go live fine. Life, man. Go live life. It's messy, man.
Right, messy, right, man. And it is messy. Life and it is messy. Love in particular. Very
love.
Fucking messy.
Come
so
on, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with love.
It's life. It's love. It's a
we're
big
dealing
theme.
With love. Look, man, life is made out of love. People are, dare I say, killed out of love. You know what I'm saying?
Like, definitely. Die out of yeah.
love. People, I mean, damn, this is love. This is just a very intense emotion.
Love is not a joke. Love is dead ass. Love is very fucking serious.
Is he a toxic right. little light-skinned brother there. Running around? He could, yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah. He's a toxic light-skinned man, but let's not hold that against...
Yeah. You can't hold it against everybody nah. now, okay? Let the movie thrive. Yeah. Okay, thrive. The Wood, and that one is arguable, like we talked about. I put arguable when I listed it. I'm like, this... I would not call this a rom-com off the top of my head. It is very coming of age, but it is one of my favorite movies, so I...
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Why Did I Get Married? Haven't seen it. Brown Sugar.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know you got Brown Sugar on there.
You know I have Brown Sugar on there. God. I saw that one recently for the first time. It was a good time. Tay Diggs is always going to be...
Tay.
I have The Best Man and Poetic Justice to finish us off.
Oh, I was hoping. Yeah, Poetic Justice.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, Poetic Justice.
I also saw that one like probably within the last 10 years for the first time, which is fair.
Right? What about Love Jones? Did you say Love Jones?
I did not say Love Jones, but that is... Obviously, another one. That's
yeah, I feel like that's a rom-com. I mean, it's more yeah. on the romance, but...
Romance side. But... Okay, so you love, like, one that has a pretty solid balance and skews a little bit more on the romance side.
Yeah.
Like...
I would say, I guess. Like, yes.
Right? Let yeah. you get into that.
Black men in America, we like to be hard, right? We like to be hard. It can't be hard all the time, man. Sometimes I like to... Oh, man, I don't want to be hard all the time. I don't need...
100%.
I already got the high blood pressure. Can I just chill out every once in a while?
Right?
And just feel myself, feel the emotion. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
can
right.
I just feel like I want to love? Like,
100%.
There's not enough love anymore, man. Everything's got to be, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Y'all like, deserve that. Y'all really deserve to be able to feel and be soft.
That's it.
And if rom-coms are the safe place to do so.
Oh, my God. That's where I do it. That's where I do it.
Right. That's where you do it. That's actually really good advice. I'm going to tell multiple Black men that I know that information. Like, have you ever considered maybe popping on a rom-com when you're feeling maybe just a little bit emotional and you don't know how to get it out and you want to? Pop on a rom-com.
Put that on. Cry.
That's what...
Cry, by the way. Cry.
And cry.
Laugh. Cry. Do the whole thing. Go through the whole spectrum of your emotion.
Do it.
Call a motherfucker afterwards too. Make a mistake. Call someone afterwards too.
Right. Drunk call or rom-com call. That's like a new genre.
Rom-com call. Yeah. Look, I might have done it.
Okay. Right. Maybe might have done it a couple times.
You might need to call someone. Make a little mistake after a rom-com. Okay.
Just
live your life a little bit. Stop being on Twitter analyzing everything, okay?
You know, stop looking at Love and Basketball that hard. Just watch it.
Yeah.
Feel the feelings.
And why did Mistake Love and Basketball? I realized I was making Mistake Love and Basketball for the Common Queen Latifah movie.
Oh, got you. From Just Right.
Just Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I never saw Just Right, though. But yeah, but Love and Basketball.
Me neither.
I can't believe people are talking trash on Love and Basketball.
People be talking trash about that one. They are not into it. That was one of my favorite movies as a kid. I love that one. You did mention what your favorite love movie of all time is, right? What your favorite rom-com is?
It's the three. How can I?
It's the trilogy.
It's the
okay,
Trinity.
That's what it was.
It's like, what can I say, man? That's it. Like, right. I can't, you know, it's like, how do I, it's not even 1A, 1B, 1C. It's like, really, it's just, those are the three. Those are the foundational, those are the movies I'll probably return to most in life. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. I'm going to have to just sit and watch those.
Watch them. Boom, boom, boom. Watch them. Like
right.
That.
Just back to back. The way that you talk about it, really, they really need to put you on payroll. Like, if suddenly people start watching this, you need to get on payroll.
Please.
Because you have made a great case.
I'm telling you, man. I'm so sad that Nora Ephron's gone. Like, dead or alive. Like, she's one of the people, 100%. Like, if I could, like, three people, dead or alive, you could have dinner with. It'd be like, it'd be Nora, it'd be Tupac, and it'd be Phil Jackson. And it'd be incredible.
That is a hell of a roster to have dinner.
It'd be incredible.
Those people wouldn't even get along with each other.
Oh, nah, they would. I think they would.
You think they would?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Everyone would be charmed by everyone. They'd be beautiful.
Okay.
It'd be beautiful.
That's fair. Oh, yeah. I feel like Tupac would definitely like the other two people, and I think the other two people might think he's a little intense.
I don't know. I think they would be charmed by Pac. Pac?
You think so?
Yeah, everyone loves Pac. Everyone loves Pac.
I mean, I do personally, but I feel like people might find it a little intense.
Everyone loves Pac.
That's very fair. Very fair.
Here's another question we'll throw at you. Like, who would you, if you could be anyone in life, like, who would you be? Like, there'd be an argument for choosing Nora Ephron. The argument against choosing Nora Ephron is that she died of cancer at 17. A little too young, 71, 72. Like, I wouldn't want that. So ultimately, I ask you to Quincy Jones, because it's like,
nice.
He's living a long, nice life, got great kids, got the whole thing, like, done it all. But when you look at Nora, she lived her life like no one lived, like, in a way, almost no one's lived a better life than her, man. Like, she knew how to enjoy it. She knew how to navigate an industry that was, I mean, if we think that media is a bad place for women now, if you can only imagine what media was for women in 1960-something.
Hell yeah.
In the 1960s when she started writing. And then she started writing a column just for women. And you know, people make fun of it. You know, it's like, but she did it. And then she makes the rom-com, and it becomes a punchline for, like, even though it's raking them money, it becomes a punchline in terms of a creative afterthought. It becomes the thing that nobody respects for pretty much, I would say, the entirety of her lifetime. She dies in 2012. Like, people look at the rom-com as lesser art, lower art. But really what she crafted was beautiful work from her heart. She did it her way. She directed it. How many women directors are there? So she wrote it, she directed it, and she did it her way. And she enjoyed life. I think she's one of the most incredible people. So I have a lot of love and respect for what she did. And I wish people would revisit her writings, her work, and not just think of it as like kind of fluff. Really put some respect on what she did, you know?
100%. And I feel like a lot of that disrespect or lack of respect that comes from that genre is that people feel that it's geared toward women in the same way that she had flack from her column that was specifically geared toward women. Anything that has features women too much.
Too much.
Even like coming of age stories that feature women more so than men, people disregard a little bit.
Treated with a bit of like, oh, well, that's not serious. Yeah, well, right. No, it's very serious. It's very serious.
It's dead ass over here. Yeah, it's real serious. We don't play.
Yeah. and to, you know, to really put yourself out there like that and be one of like the early people doing that kind of thing, like, that's incredible. You know, that's incredible. And if people want to disregard her work because it was written by a woman and therefore it has to be for women, I think that's the wrong way to look at it. You know, there's a lot to learn in her work. There's a lot to learn from her
work. You're depriving yourself of the emotional vulnerability that comes with watching it and interrogating things that you feel inside of yourself while watching it. You're depriving yourself. Don't do that.
100%. Do not deprive yourself. Give yourself some oxygen, people. Watch the trilogy, the Trinity. make a rom-com call afterwards. You know, if you had a little couple glasses of wine while watching, you had a nice little laugh, a nice little cry. You know what I mean? Maybe make yourself a nice little dinner before you sit down and do it too. Make yourself something.
Do something.
Some veggies too. You know? Put some vegetables on the plate too. You know what
I'm
saying?
Make sure you get some broccoli. Okay.
Get some veggies and some broccoli. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Regarding television shows, there was a couple that are my personal favorites that I guess could fall within the rom-com comedy space. It is Love Life. Have you ever seen Love Life?
I don't know Love Life. What is Love Life?
It's on HBO. Whenever you have a second, cut on season 2, Justin. I think you in particular would like it. Just from interfacing with you from the short time, I think you would really like
season 2. Oh, man, I've been meaning to watch this. I've seen it. Yeah. Okay.
It's so fucking, literally, one of my top favorite shows of all time. Incredible. It's fantastic. And then New Girl, if we're talking about like something that skews a little bit, New Girl.
New Girl's good.
It is fun.
New Girl's good.
It's a good time.
I like New Girl. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
Did I redeem myself regarding taste yet? You're like,
You're back. You're back. You're in. All right.
That was my intention. That's the whole intention. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Justin, thank you so much for coming on. It was truly a pleasure having you. A great time. Please let the folks know where they can find you online.
Have me back. I got all kinds of things I like. Oh, I got all kinds.
Please.
We can come back.
You know what? I'm going to send you the intake form. You can let me know what your interests are, and I would love to have you back because you're fantastic.
Okay, great. So, yes. I'll let you know what I'm into.
Yeah, for sure. Let the folks know where they can find you online, the new podcast, and all of that information.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram and Twitter at It's J Richmond, like Virginia, Richmond like Virginia. Yeah. Started from the Bottom. It's our new podcast out March 14. Yeah, all about success stories in business and beyond from women and people of color. Everyone from Charlamagne Tha God to Susie Orman, Black Dot, you know, with the lesser known people up on there too, just because, you know, there's all kinds of careers, all kinds of ways to make money. Other podcast is Broken Record with Rick Rubin, Malcolm Gladwell. Please check that out. Got an Usher on there. Got to have Babyface up on there soon. Yes, we got all kinds of stuff to check out.
Heavy hitters. Check it out, y'all. And as you know, per usual, you can find me at BPLP Pod across all social media platforms. You can email me at blackpeopleloveparamore@gmail.com with episode topic recommendations, hate mail, feedback, or anything else. Listen to my new podcast, Glass House by Sequoia Holmes, if you get the chance. And that's it. I'll see y'all in a couple weeks.
Peace.
Bye.